Yeah, one of our highlights when we talked to Barry Maguire, who sings that song. That was so cool, was it not? Okay, we're going to have a couple hours of sound off open lines for you here on Coast to Coast. So whatever is on your mind, lots going on. Talk about the occult, the paranormal, events that are happening. We'll get to you next on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, by the way, this coming weekend, I'm going to be at the Alien Con in Santa Clara, California, up there at the convention center. Full details at our highlight reel at coasttocoastam.com. If you're in the area coming up, it is going to be something that's tied into, of course, the Ancient Aliens program, and the tickets are selling like hotcakes. Let's go to the phones as we've got open lines now for you. Sound off open lines. So, Jerry, truck driving in Ohio, welcome to the show, Jerry. Go ahead.
How are you doing today?
Great. Thanks.
Yeah, I was hoping I could have got on when your guest was still on there because he made a comment that a Wiccan can be a Christian, and that, as a Bible-believing Christian, is impossible. I mean, the God that created you, me, this whole world, everything in it, says he's a jealous God, and he says that just like oil and water don't mix, he said a house divided cannot stand, and he said that you are either for me or you're against me. There's no in between. So when that guy made that statement, I thought he either doesn't know the Bible, doesn't believe it, hasn't read it. I mean, I don't know where he was coming from when he made that statement, because it's impossible for a Wiccan to be a Christian.
Well, Wiccans believe in God, but they believe in a male-female God.
Well, that goes against the Bible, because the Bible says there's one God, and he's God man.
Yeah, but, you know, at least they believe in God. We've got that much coming out of them. But, see, a lot of people have confused witches, Wiccan, with evil, with Satanists, with black magic practitioners. Two different things altogether. I happen to know some people who practice the Wiccan religion, and they're great people, and they believe in God. They just have their own little views on what this is. And the bottom line is, nobody knows what God really is. Nobody. Roger in Orlando, east of the Rockies, welcome to the show. Hey, Raj, go ahead.
Hey, George. I wanted to offer a criticism of our presidential candidates that maybe it's a little unique, but I believe that both candidates are missing the mark of our global future. In other words, I believe that globalism is inevitable. It will happen, but it will not happen in the secret society, elite, manipulative type of Obama and Hillary, nor will it happen in the protectionist, Brexit, group protectionist, and unfortunately, the worst parts of humanity, the bigotry parts that Trump is appealing to. But I believe that a globalism is inevitable, and that globalism contains elements that are contrary both to Hillary and Trump. And basically, if I can spell it out, it's going to be a globalism that is going to break down all group and ethnic identities by unleashing the desire of the individual for self-expression. In other words, human self-expression will be reduced to the level of the individual, and because of the culture that's happening globally with the smartphone technology. Are you following me?
Yeah, that brings everything together, doesn't it?
Yes, the smartphone technology and the individual expression of peoples will eventually override group identities, which are the sources of all conflict. And so globalism will happen, but it will be more power dispersed through individuals taking and being empowered. Therefore, it will not be, according to the Bilderberg attempted coup of the world. In fact, when communism was formed, or those who were the revolutionaries of communism, the reason why they put their blood on the line and the reason why they fought for communism was because they secretly hoped that they would be the elite in the communist society. And that is exactly what the Bilderberg and the Hillary Clinton and the Obama people are looking to do. They want to lead the world into a global power structure, but secretly they want to be on the elite side of that power structure. It's the same old communist temptation reiterated.
Well, don't forget to throw George Soros in the mix, too. He wants globalism probably more than anybody.
And that's fine. You see, I am a globalist myself. I'm a globalist myself, but I believe in globalism that will occur in the right way. It will occur by the dispersed power of individuals being liberated to forge the destiny of our human race together, rather than through some power structure manipulating people. And the way that they came against Trump is an example of how the media and all sorts of different power structures come together by a manipulative set of people that are trying to bring about globalism, but only for them to be the elite.
Well, they have their own agenda, to be sure. Look, I think globalism's fine, but we still need our own autonomy, and that's critical. That's very important. We take tweets, and we have your text messages. Tom, what do we have this time?
We're going to do a text here from Donnie in Reno, Nevada. George, count me in. I want to sound off at people who spank their kids in public.
Ugh.
You're a dad. Doesn't that drive you crazy?
Yes, I don't like that.
Man.
Did you ever get spanked as a kid?
Yeah, we all did, but not in a supermarket or not in public.
Not whapped like that. Just
no.
A little quick pat. That, you know, like that's, I guess that's normal.
Yeah, but I've seen some parents in markets that
what you
got to
be careful
for
with a little kid is shaking them. You could kill a kid doing that.
Yeah, you can jar their brain, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, little babies, you don't shake them and stuff like that. Look, if you've been a parent, you know what it's like to have a screaming kid, right? You know, you're tired, you've worked all day, you get home, and the baby's crying and crying and crying. But look. That's the way it is.
But don't you agree they should at least, if they're in public, take them away somewhere, not just spank them?
And spank them somewhere else? No. No.
I didn't say that.
I don't like hitting kids. They're little people, and you give them bad impressions.
Of course.
All right. Thanks. Bye. Take them away somewhere. Dean in Monterey, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Dean, go for it.
I was listening to your show earlier, and as I was listening to your show, I'm camping up here at the Laguna Seca Raceway.
Okay.
And it's a nice campground up here.
Yeah, it is. It's very pleasant. I've heard a lot about it.
Yeah. And it's up here, and I can see the airport and planes flying by and everything. And then all of a sudden, there's barely any lights down where I'm looking at right now from my motorhome,
mm-hmm.
and I see this weird kind of shadow thing, but it looks like, it doesn't look like a shadow, it looks more like a human presence, and then I see this shadow just kind of bouncing off these motorhomes over here.
Wow.
And it just takes off, it just starts bouncing off of one motorhome, the next motorhome.
Jeez.
And these motorhomes are shaking, and then I'm out here with my wife right now. She's looking at her phone, and then I got this little tree right here, and then it goes through the tree and then lands on my motorhome, and it shakes my motorhome.
It shakes, and you could feel the shake?
Yeah, I could feel the shake, and I could see the tree shake.
Whoa.
Because when it went through the tree, there's birds that are actually sleeping in there, and they just took off. They went crazy.
They felt it, too.
Yeah, and then the motorhomes that were shaking down there, everybody started turning on their lights.
Now, you didn't have like a little earthquake or anything, did you?
No, dude, no. That's what they looked at me, because I'm the only one up, and I got my fire going on right now, and they kind of looked at me because I've been here for a few days.
Yeah.
You guys, and they were looking at me, I said, no, there's no earthquake.
Something evil up there. Got to be careful, Dean.
But the strange thing was that it came so close to me. Just imagine, you know, like a Spider-Man where his costume is on real tight.
Right.
That's what this creature or this creature had on. It was, but it looked more like a burlap sack.
Huh.
Like a potato sack. But it was real tight, confined to his body. And then after he took off from my motorhome, he landed on this tree right here that is about 50 foot up. And then he just took off into the sky. And we're just starting right now to make clouds. And then he kind of like burst through the clouds, and the clouds just kind of...
And he wasn't in a spaceship or anything. It was just him.
Yeah, it was just him. And he kind of looked at me with this weird, like... I knew him.
What kind of face did he have? Were you able to see that?
It was no face at all.
Oh, jeez.
It was just kind of like we knew each other presence.
Yeah.
Thing. And I was like,
blotted out.
I know you. You know me. Do we know each other?
It might be time to move on to another campground somewhere. You might want to do that. Gary in Santa Maria, California. Gary, go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, George. Hey, big congratulations on getting the presidential decision directive on strengthening the grid pass, but nobody publicized it. And I went all the way through the Coast Archives going back to October 13th when it was signed, and you didn't even talk.
Oh, no, I'm not ready for it yet. There's a few things that there's a couple more hurdles they need to do, but we're getting
there. Well, it's part of a secret directive. It just had the headline on it, but it sounded to me like it had some teeth in it, requiring 120 days of the order. What I'm worried about is if Trump does win the election and he's vowed to just obliterate all of Obama's directives, he would be throwing this baby out with the bathwater.
Well, we'll make sure he hears about it if he gets elected, believe me.
And it's easy. I swear it's got some serious teeth in it, and it does everything that Fortune said that should be done on it. And can I make a comment on Malcolm Nance?
Yeah. Well, you did that last week.
Well, except what I said
I want current stuff from you. Current information. No, you already talked about Malcolm Nance.
Yeah,
nothing new to report.
It is current. It was what I spoke about.
Well, I know. So you already did that. So
Yes,
you did.
On that show, I said that the Bluetooth would cause a disruption, and 4 days later is when we had the internet outage. It did exactly what I said 4 days earlier.
Well, you've been in touch with the internet. You know what's going on there. But I think we were hacked, and hacked in a big, big way. Well, look, we continue to push to get the power grid insulated. There's really no legislation passed to do it yet, but people are beginning to take heed to the things we've been reporting on. We'll be talking with Peter Pry, who's been a huge person pushing legislation to get this done, along with Bill Forstchen and some other people. But we still got miles to go before we sleep, folks, on this one. Miles to go. Let's go to Limestone, West Virginia. Buck is with us on Coast to Coast. Hello, Buckingham.
Hey, Tom, I'm sorry, George. Listen, I was unsuccessful on my turkey hunt, but when I get one, I'm going to send it out to you.
A turkey?
Yeah, a wild turkey.
No, you don't have to do that. Donate it down there.
Oh, no, well, you don't want to try one. That's okay.
No,
I'll donate it somewhere.
Yeah,
else.
Donate it. I'm not going to eat a buckshot turkey.
I got a quick question. Do you have anybody lined up to talk about the mound builders? You know, we got the largest Indian burial mound just down the road.
No, the best one for that has passed on, Glenn Kimball, God rest his soul. But no, we don't have anybody lined up for that yet.
Okay. Well, listen, thanks, George. Keep up the good work.
Okay, Buck, thank you. And thanks for everything you do for us. He was one of our co-hosts, still is a Coast Insider. And you hear him on the promos every once in a while talking about that, which is really cool. Let's go out to the Bronx in New York. Tom's with us now, east of the Rockies. Good morning, Tom.
Yes. Hi, George.
Hey there.
I'd like to say that this Earth, to me, was actually a breakaway, perhaps, from the sun. that came out and was had magnetic force where it began to circulate, perhaps like the other planets. Life to me is energy, and this energy used to feed on fission, like probably from the sun, and then when this was a molten mass, as the earth what became the earth began to cool off, and the creatures, or what became creatures on the earth, used to feed on the mass, actually began to feed on each other for their energy they needed.
Right.
Now, as time went on, the first life forms to come on this earth, to me, were asexual, meaning that they were both male and female. You see that with plants.
You mean like hermaphrodites, they're called, right?
Like what?
They're called hermaphrodites.
Well, I call it asexual.
Yeah, that's what they are.
It was the first ones, and then what happened was that they morphed into male and female. So in other words, male and female didn't come first. It was asexual creatures that came to this earth first.
Right, it was a hermaphrodite.
And what happened, in other words, that goes against the grains of religion, because they say male and female were created.
Right.
And what happened was that male and female, as the earth cooled off, what became the earth cooled off, broke into two
How'd you come up with this?
Well, I'm just thinking. It's always thinking.
I love it when people think.
So in other words, that's how you got male and female. Now, if you look at plant life that didn't evolve, like plants too, were probably that way, all of them. Now, if you look at the most primitive plants there are,
they're like, still the same.
That they are asexual. Or what you the terminology you used,
the hermaphrodites.
And they didn't evolve. Now, if they're on the planet long enough, they probably will. Like, you get flowers like the morning glory that's like that. You have other plants that are like berry plants are like that too.
I got to tell you, Tom, never, ever has anybody called in with that theory like you just did. Truly remarkable that you were able to investigate that. Okay, I'm going to come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be back with more of your calls, so get ready to make your phone call. And welcome back to Open Lines here on Coast to Coast AM, and we're going to get to your calls. By the way, some of you already know this, but election night, 5 hours of live programming. A number of guests will be coming in, and we're going to do it all, from those who have made predictions with our psychics to those hard news folks. We're going to do it all, and we've got a lot of people joining us during that night for what will be a very fascinating election night. Anything can happen, folks. I'm still getting emails from people who say, who do you support? Look, I don't support any of them. I just call it the way I see it. I want you to do the supporting. I'm going to just report on facts that come in. That's what we've been doing for months now, and we will see what happens. Now, who do I predict? I think it's going to be very, very close. But we'll see what happens. Anything could happen, right? Anything could happen. Let's go to Randy in Washington. Welcome to the show. Hi, Randy.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good. I hope you are, too.
Yeah, I've been listening to your show for many years, even when Art Bell hosted the show.
Wow, you went way back. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I have a story. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, you had a lady on that talked about guardian angels.
Yes.
I don't recall her name.
That could have been Rosemary Ellen Guiley.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah. And well, she's going to be with us on Ghost to Ghost for a little bit, too. She's got some new stuff for us. But go ahead.
Well, I have a short story, and I'll try to make it as quick as I can.
Okay, sure.
It was, I told your screener, it was about 9-10 years ago. It was actually about 8 years ago. I was hunting on the east slopes of the Cascades here in Washington. I was elk hunting. I was on a hillside. It was just a game trail on the middle of this mountain. It was very loose dirt, shale. And as I was walking down the trail, I slipped and I fell about 15 or 20 feet down the mountain.
Did you like slide down or you went tumbling?
No, I slipped, just kind of slid down in the dirt.
Ugh.
In the shale. And there was a deep creek bed about 100 feet below me. And I could have went down all through the creek bed, but there's a lot of down timber in the creek bed. It would have took me hours and hours to get out and get back to my camp.
If you could have gotten out.
Yeah, well, I could have gotten out, but it would have took me a long time. And it was late in the afternoon. It was probably 4:30. It was about 4:30 in the afternoon. And I struggled for a good half an hour to try and get back up. And it was like, you know, every three steps you take, you slip another three steps.
Yeah, you're going nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. And all of a sudden, from the direction I came in, here comes this man. And he was dressed in not what you would call modern-day hunting clothes, you know, the camouflage.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He was dressed in the wool bibs and the wool jacket.
Old-timer, like an old-timer would.
Yeah, he looked like he was in his 50s, maybe, you know, mid-50s.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, he stopped and he said, "Hey, are you having trouble?" And I said, "Yeah."
Yeah.
I can't get up back up to the trail. And he had an old backpack on. It was a old leather backpack.
Is he like looking down at you?
Yes.
Okay.
He's looking down at me. And he takes out a rope, and it was an old horsehide rope. He throws it. Takes him about 5 minutes to pull me up. Finally get up to the trail, and he kind of rebukes me. You know, he kind of says, "You know, you shouldn't be out here by yourself, and you should be more careful." And I said, "Well, I just, you know, I was on this part of the trail and I just slipped down." And we were right kind of in front of where I slipped, and you could see where the trail gave way.
Yeah.
And it was just a game trail. Probably elk and deer used it. It was maybe 2 feet wide, if that. And he says, "Well," he says, "you need to be more careful." And he says, "Are you okay?" And I says, "Yeah, I'm doing okay." And he says, "Okay, well, I'll be on my way now." And I said, "All right." I said, "Thanks a lot." Well, my boots were full of dirt. So I sat on a rock that was on the upside of the hill.
Uh-huh.
And I shook out my boots, kind of shook out my socks, put my socks back on, put my boots back on, put my pack back on, grabbed my rifle, and I started walking down the trail in the direction he had gone. Well, about 100 yards up the trail, there was thick woods, and about 300 yards down the trail, there was thick woods. So I started walking, and I'm a hunter. I'm looking at the trail.
Right.
Well, it had rained that day, and there was nobody down. You know, I had noticed no tracks coming down that trail, not even elk tracks.
And he definitely went that way, right?
Yes, he went down the trail. So I start looking down at the trail, and George, I swear to God this is true, and I've never told my hunting buddies about this. I've never told anyone about this. And I tried to get in when this lady was on 3 weeks ago, but I couldn't get in.
Yeah.
But there were no tracks
on
the trail.
he was just gone.
There was no tracks. A human being leaves tracks wherever they go.
Absolutely. Somewhere.
So I stopped. I probably walked 50 yards down the trail. I stopped. I walked back up the trail past where I had fallen down the hill. And there were no tracks but mine coming down that trail.
All by yourself. He was an angel. Somebody sent him. Now, what would have happened, Randy, had he not shown up? Had he not shown up, what would have happened?
I would have had to have descended down to the creek bed and made my way over down timber, you know, climbing over down timber that was probably waist high or better.
Oh, my gosh.
It would have taken me hours.
And you would have been exhausted. You might have injured yourself. Who knows what would have happened?
Well, I would have had to spend the night in the creek bed. I was a good 3 miles from my camp.
Have you done that before? Have you been able to just stay out in the wild like that?
Yes, I have. I've been hunting since I was 8 years old, and I'm 48.
Oh, you're well trained then.
Yeah, I've been in the woods. I grew up in Montana.
Ever been attacked by an animal?
No.
All right, that's pretty lucky.
Been close. I've watched grizzly bears eat, you know, eat a dead elk. Been like 300 yards from them and just kind of slunked back and thought, well, okay, we don't need to go that way.
You had some kind of visitation.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody tried.
in that canyon, there were besides my camp, me and my buddy's camp, there was only four other camps. And the next 2 days, I kind of walked down there and went through those camps, and I never saw
the guy. Never saw the guy. Hey, but here's the main thing. No footprints. What does that tell you? What a great story, Tom. What do you have for
that
us?
That was a great story. If it was dark in here right now, crazy.
I mean, I believe in angels.
Oh, so do I, of course.
They're there.
This is from Carlin in Ogden, Utah. Can you answer this for me? How does a person prepare to accept death?
Tough question.
Oh. I know.
Tough question.
I know.
One of which I really can't give you the answer because I'm not the one qualified for that. You need somebody like Raymond Moody or somebody like that. But, you know, we're all going to get to that point one day.
I would think it's personal, though. Everybody prepares differently.
We're all going to get there one day. I don't know how we'll get there, whether it'll be a tragedy, an accident, dying in a hospital room, you know, just going to sleep and not waking up. I don't know, but let me give you the simplest advice. Live every day like it's your last one.
Yep.
Don't waste your day at all. And by that I mean, if you enjoy staying home watching television or Netflix or Amazon or whatever you do, and you cook yourself a little dinner and you just chill at home, if that's what you like, Do it. And enjoy yourself,
just
because you never know when that last day is going to happen.
Do you ever think about that?
Well, let me tell you what I think about, Tom. I've lost two family members. I have two left, my sister and my mother. When I was a little boy, you never think of that. You know, you think of your family as an invincible. You know, and my dad's gone, my sister's gone. I think about death a lot, and you know, the older you get, the more you think about it. But you know what? If I go tomorrow, I don't want anybody crying for me. You know, I want you to come on the air and say, you know what? He lived his life. He had a great time. He enjoyed himself.
You know what's weird I think about sometimes? When you, at the end of the year, like when you celebrate Christmas and the year's gone by, you've lived past the date that you're going to die on. Weird.
All right. So you'll have two more for us next hour.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Tom. All right. Back to the phones we go. We go to Mark in Modesto, California. Welcome to the show, Mark. Thank you.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Good morning.
Hi.
Thanks, Tom, and the whole crew.
The best crew in radio.
We're really going to need, I'd hate to think of the day when you pass on and we don't have coast to coast anymore. I guess they'll get somebody. Maybe
we'll get somebody. We'll get somebody in there.
That's what, the only thing. I won't cry for you. I'll just be crying because I don't have coast to coast. Anyways, your first caller, he mentioned the one God. And are you familiar with the singularity?
Yes.
I think we need to think of God and the singularity to try to understand either one of them or both of them. I think it's maybe God lies somewhere near the singularity or something like that.
You are a believer, though, I can tell.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've got to be a believer. Come on.
In something, yeah.
Anyway, the other thing I wanted to, I called about was the DMV here in California.
Yeah, they
heard about.
They all went out, huh?
Yeah, I guess the Bluetooth got them or something.
Yeah, or something.
I don't know, but it's pretty serious. And then the other thing was the first self-driving
truck.
Yes, the OTTO.
Hauling some beer, wasn't it?
Yes. That's comforting. So if the apocalypse comes or whatever, at least the beer can be on. That's good.
It'll make it. Thanks to Budweiser.
Yes, and the last thing was this. Speaking of the end, you know, when we go and it's all over, the song by The Doors, The End.
Yeah.
There's a line in it that says, "The blue bus is calling us." I think to decode that, it's the Anubis is calling us.
Yeah.
It, I don't know.
It could be. Hey, Mark, thanks for listening. Lots going on. My gosh. Have you ever seen a time where so many things were topsy-turvy, upside down? I mean, just bizarre. Everything is bizarre. I took Tom out to dinner tonight. We saw more people without lights on their cars. It was just weird. Everything was weird, to be sure. Let's go back to the phones. Danny's in Huntsville, Alabama, first-time caller. Good morning, Danny. Thanks for calling.
How you doing, George?
Good. Hope you're okay.
I'm doing well.
Good.
Hey, can I rebuttal for some of the callers earlier?
Yeah, absolutely.
When I first turned on the radio, you had a man talking about Wiccan, and you said just because these people are into these faiths doesn't mean that they aren't good people and don't love. And
right.
I had a good friend, a brother-in-law's younger brother. We all lived together. He was into black magic, druid magic, and voodoo, and he handed me $5 for gas one day, and I said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm a Christian. You're into black magic. We're at the opposite end of the spectrum." He said, "Just because I'm into black magic doesn't mean I don't love people." And it shattered my mentality because I grew up in Protestant.
Right. You expected him to be evil or something.
Yeah, or just everything the opposite.
Yeah.
But the only bad thing about some of those groups, usually black magic and darker areas of quote-unquote magic, witchcraft, is that whatever they say is love is love. You know, whatever
True.
You believe it to be.
Right.
Whereas Christians, there's pretty much a manual.
But, you know, there are some groups out there that are very, very evil.
And that's one of the reasons why I called in.
All right.
The other thing about people trying to say who God is, real quick, your other caller, you know, it says there's a scripture that says the wisdom of God is, or the foolishness of God is wiser than all of men's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than all of men's strength. And that's just kind of a open-minded thought of, you know, if he's so much greater than us, who are we to say who he is? And I use the term he because I believe he's just too far beyond anything so minuscule as the way our organism
right. is. Right. And he sounds created. Better than saying it.
Exactly. Because it seems like it almost takes away
a little more personal
relationship.
That's right.
The main reason, and also a lot of people, I've heard them say on your show when they call in, at the end of the day, and God said he's going to destroy the earth. No, God said he's going to destroy the earth because he grows tired of men's wickedness.
And there is wickedness.
And then there is. When I was a young boy, there was a lady who was a traveling minister.
Mm-hmm.
She befriended my mother. She did Bible studies at our house. I got in trouble for drawing symbols on my homework paper by my mom. You know, grew up.
Little doodling, huh?
Well, yeah, that's exactly how she approached me. I hear you're an artist. I hear you like to draw. I'm like, no, I like music. And she goes, I hear you've been putting swastikas on your homework. And I was like, I disappointed her. I probably shouldn't have done it. And she said, I have a book for you. She gave me this small book. And it, right on the front, it was the pentagram with the goat's head in it.
Yeah.
Writing around the outside. You know, and I was like, whoa, I can't have this. Mom, let's live. And she said, well, I'll tell her it's okay. And I said, why would you be giving me a book like this? She goes, well, don't be fooled by what the cover is. This book tells you about what these people are about. It's not that book that tells you how to do these things. And she said, you need to learn this stuff. And I said, why? And she goes, I don't want you to fall for the romantic side of it.
Ah,
and in that book, it talked about black magic, the occult, witchcraft. It talked about the Nazis. It talked about the KKK a little bit on some of the symbols.
Boy, you learned early.
Yes, yes. This was in the 80s. And this is in the great the tri-state area near Lake Erie. This woman actually lived across the street from Camp Perry. So she knew a lot of things and heard a lot of stuff, and she met a lot of people. She had the opportunity to meet a lot of inside people. And, you know, she'd been a Christian evangelist for years and years. Anyhow, she gave me this book. I read it, and I just started to see at a young age, you know, this is what magic is. You know, this is what the Nazis were, are. I say are.
Well, I got to tell you, very perceptive of you to be able to study that at such a young age and still carry it forward and learn about that. Good job. Okay, we're coming back in a moment. Another hour to go of Open Lines. Where did this one go? Where did this hour go? Wow.